Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Leo Wisniewski. I am a co-founder of Health Cost Labs and a minor co-founder in a new company called Billy. And what we do is we're aggregating the healthcare price transparency data, and we're empowering benefit advisors to provide better counsel to their self-funded clients. And we're also using the Billy app to empower patients to advocate for the best price for themselves, either before they shop or when they get the bill in. They could check their bill to make sure they could have a second conversation. So we're trying to disrupt healthcare by injecting new data points to create different conversations, because pretty much there is no conversation in healthcare that lowers prices. It's all about something other than prices. So we're just trying to change a conversation in healthcare.
For sure. So essentially your customers are people that are, you know, working kind of with these smaller insurance, like you're not working with like these big players, more of like people who might be self-employed, have these smaller insurances. Essentially,
yeah,
right?
there's a lot of these boutique brokerage firms across the country who maybe don't have the resources for a full-fledged IT department, and so we're kind of filling in that niche where we offer a low-cost product that fits their budget and provides them data that they need to be effective in their own work product.
For sure. So what you're saying is like the biggest challenge that you face in the business?
By far, biggest challenge is just education. You know, before a few years ago, prices were never known in healthcare. Nobody ever saw it. It's brand new. And so what I find myself, and I didn't really understand the lack of understanding in the market, is that the industry is not really sure how to use the data. And so they were pretty much accustomed to their old ways, you know, discount reports or wellness programs, which is not wrong, but price transparency kind of like it really trumps everything else. And people are having a hard time understanding how to consume the numbers to make a business decision. So that is by far the biggest challenge. It's just the education of the industry. You know, my background was in actuarial science and in contracting, making fee schedules. I did that for like 15 years. So this data and this how to use the data was very familiar to me. And I just didn't appreciate that it wasn't familiar to other people. So that is the chasm I have to cross to grow this company. And I'm trying.
For sure. So in terms of this level of information or providing information, you know, what does that look like? Like, how do you get in front of people and provide this info? Is it more of like email marketing or, you know, speaking at conferences? Like, what have you done to, I guess, you know, explain this to people?
Yeah, thank you. So firstly, we are self-funded. We bootstrapped this. We have no investors. So our marketing budget is really thin because all of our money has been spent into the programmers, the website, the technology. That's where our money went. And there wasn't money to hire a chief marketing officer. So pretty much my marketing strategy was to put reports out on LinkedIn. And, you know, here's high, here's low, here's average, and here's how you can use the data to make an informed decision. And that has shocked a lot of people because they never saw data presented that way. So a lot of our business has come from me on LinkedIn, just putting out the content that here it is, here's how you use it. And then people would follow up, ask questions, and then they buy a subscription to their state. And so so it's pretty much guerrilla marketing, if you could call it that way. It's just bare knuckle, get it done. And, you know, because, you know, we're running lean here, I have no investors, I have no expectations of earnings. So I can, you know, run hard without, you know, having some investor beat me over the head for earnings. So it's a long journey. I'm prepared for that journey. And it's just about crossing that chasm and helping people understand how to use the data so they can move forward and provide better service to their clients.
For sure. But I mean, in terms of earning expectation, of course, like you have no investors, but you yourself are the investor essentially. So I'm sure that you have some level of expectation of like, you know, what you want to be at, even like monthly revenue next year. Like, you know, what are you looking to get to? Because I think if you don't set those goals, it can be challenging.
No, this is very... This is a very fair question. So for the first year and a half, we were running deficits. Like I had another full-time job and this was my part-time job. I didn't get paid. I was just pouring money into it. My wife is like, when's this going to end? When's this going to turn around? And then last year I got a few big clients that were able to bring in some money and provide some income replacement. So once you have income replacement, you have breathing room. So I am at income replacement. Could be a little more, but I'm fine where I am right now. So I have patience. I can wait it out, and just let the leads come in, close them, educate them, and go to the next lead. But we're up in, we're in healthcare. There's a lot of interest in maintaining the status quo because you're making money from it. So, I tell people it's not like I'm opening up a pizza shop where I make the best pizza and people will come. You're up against people who don't want this information out there because it undermines their whole value system. So it's a really challenging environment. But now that I got income replacement, I can breathe easy and just keep doing the right thing and wait for the tide to come in for me.
For sure. But I guess like for 2024, right? Like what would be considered a successful year? Like being up, I mean, without even, you don't have to give like, exact numbers, but what about?
I would like to be up another 100%
Okay.
by the end of December. I because I'm kind of learning in sales, it takes 1 to 2 years to close a deal. And conversations I'm having today, I first reached out to that person like 18 months ago, who and they're coming back to me. Hey, we need to revisit this. So it's the sales cycle is so slow, and you have to plant those seeds of interest. And one day it'll come to fruition. So I've planted a lot of seeds, and I have a lot of emails. Let's talk first quarter of 2024. Let's talk first quarter of 2024. So those leads started at the end of 2022. It's just a very slow thing. I
Yeah.
wish it were faster, but it's not.
Do you I mean, is there something that you think that you can do to help reduce the sales cycle or maybe even,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's a really great question. And so in the healthcare, the fourth quarter is like open enrollment season. All these benefit firms have no time for anything else other than open enrollment. So, fourth quarter is like off limits for any kind of a new product anywhere. So, we're in 2 more weeks, we'll be in first quarter 2024. I wish I knew the answer on how to turn a faster sales cycle. I don't know it, but hopefully, if I grow another 100%, another 200%, I can hire a chief marketing officer who ha or chief sales officer who has that inside knowledge on how to, be more efficient in sales. Because right now I'm the data guy. I understand the business. I'm not a sales guy. But,
Yeah.
I got income replacement, so it's a different place when you don't have income replacement. So I have more time to figure this out. And I'm learning as I go, and I'm not disappointed by that.
For sure. So I guess like besides the sales cycle, like what other obstacles do you have between now and next year to, double in like in revenue?
The obstacles are pretty much like what I mentioned before. There's a large body in the healthcare administration who is totally invalidated by price transparency. So there's a competition to shut me down. They don't want prices out there and people make informed decisions because once they do, their value prop goes away. So we're fighting this incredible force that doesn't want to change. Now, a few days ago, the House of Representatives passed a new law, a bill, it's not a law yet, that will require surgery centers, imaging centers, and labs to post machine readable files in 2 years.
Right.
So that's more data coming online, coming onto the market. And so I'm hoping, if that passes, this is now the new normal. And you can no longer deny price transparency doesn't exist, and I can still operate and without it. You cannot. So now it's about that chasm. I have to, make the product consumable and easy to use, which I'm doing every day. I'm trying to make, the reports easy to read for people who don't have the numeracy skills to read it, so that somebody can read it, understand it, and buy it. And so it's just, we're harvesting the data, procuring it, fighting it, loading it. There's a huge technical lift to get this data to a place where it's a product that can be purchased. So, the last 3 years, we put so much energy into the technical side to make it a product. And now I feel that it's here almost. Still more, a little more work for me to do. But once I'm there, now I have a product. Now it's about crossing that chasm, educating. This is the new normal. You got to buy it. So it's a brand new market. It's not like a restaurant where there's a rule book to follow. There's no rule book here. Well, we're making rules up as I go.
Right. I mean, I'll tell you one thing also, which is awesome, because you're sort of, yeah, I mean, it's a new market, but you are one step ahead of the curve, right? Because what you're doing is, as the laws are changing, you're already doing something that, guess what, these companies are going to have to be required to report
Use.
this in one way or another, right? So it's like, at the end of the day, you know, you can have these large companies or other companies that will try and do what you're doing, but you're already quite a few steps ahead because you have been doing it for some time, which I think makes a huge difference.
It does. And you know, you have to be first to market. There's you have to be first to market. And you know, there's a it's I read a book. It's called Death Valley. You know, when you're first to market and nobody and you don't have customers, it's a you're starving for sales. But I think I'm about to exit Death Valley, where I now have a product. People are understanding it has to get used. And the benefit is that I'm super low cost. You know, since we have no investors, we bootstrapped it, we self-funded it. If another company wants to come in and do what I'm doing, it's going to cost them a lot of money. And I don't think that they'll be able to sell a product cheaper than I have it. So I will always be the lowest cost alternative. And so I
Right.
can be nimble and you know, price match it or lower my prices to win because I have income replacement and I'm first to market. So I have a competitive advantage because I was first to market and another company was, but they're kind of bigger now with investors. But so it's a good place to be. It's lonely, it's hard, you're fighting. There's a lot of days where you're like, what did I do? Like, am I doing the right thing? This is so hard. Can I do something easier? You know, when you bring in a few sales, it changes your mood real quick that, you know, I
Sure.
am doing the right thing. It helps. I just gotta keep going.
For sure. I mean, I guess like what you mentioned being like the lowest price, right? I mean, obviously that for some buyers that makes a difference, but do you really think that that's an objection for your potential customers? I mean, have they told you that they're concerned about the price, or are they more focused on the value that you bring as opposed to how much you're charging?
No, that's a great question. I've had some people tell me that I'm too expensive, but I kind of ignore them. I'm kind of like holding my line on my prices. And
Right.
I've had other people bought repeat subscriptions. So
Right.
they'll buy, you know, a monthly for Florida, a monthly for Michigan, a monthly for New York.
Right.
So I feel I am priced correctly because I have sales.
Right.
But, you know, we're up against this lack of understanding on how to use the data. So people are having a hard time saying, what is the value of this? How do I use it to get value out of it? And that's the education that I have to conquer. And I'm trying it every day to, you know, put content out there. This is how you use it. And I am getting interest. There's a lot of questions coming in. So it's not sales yet. It's just seeds. You know, I'm planting the seeds of relationships that, you know, they may come back to me 1 year from now if I talk to somebody today. So it's just you gotta be first to market, you gotta make introductions, you gotta plant those seeds, and 1 year, 18 months later on, hopefully they blossom and you can get a sale out of it. It's
For
really hard.
sure.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm an entrepreneur. I went full time with this back in April. So I know I'm in the same boat as you. It's not easy, and I'm not, and I can resonate. You know, I can resonate. And we're bootstrapped. So I totally get it. What would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I guess I when I first started it, you know, I was kind of angry at the industry and I was just like, you know, I wouldn't curse on LinkedIn, but I would it, you know, not so say things in not such a nice way,
Right.
you know, because I was angry at the industry and people doing the wrong thing and screwing people over. You know, bad energy does not turn into sales.
Correct.
It may make you feel good saying getting something off your chest, but it doesn't turn into sales. And so I kind of have to learn that lesson. Hey, you got to watch your tone because negative energy doesn't turn into sales. And
Sure.
maybe I burned myself in the beginning being that way. So now now that I have a product, I'm just putting the data, putting the content out there and letting this speak for itself. Here's how you use it. So if I could go back to myself 3 years ago, I may say, hey, watch your tone because it'll hurt you. But it made me feel better, like getting some things off my chest.
Yeah, I mean,
But
listen, everything is about learning. It's all about these learning experiences. So, yeah, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? Just best way to get in contact with you.
yeah, so we have a website, www.healthcostlabs.com. And once you create an account, you can download the state of Alaska for free to see the data and play for free. You can contact us through the website, or on LinkedIn. You know, I'm always on there. I check once a day, and then you can just ping me on there. That's the best way to reach me.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you so much for your time today, and we're rooting for you to have a very successful 2024.
Well, thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.